Thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. One more announcement for you. Class of 2026 Baccalaureate celebration will be May 22nd at 6 p.m. at the Custer County West Gym with guest speaker Pastor Mike Shields and Sarah Shields. And that will be on Memorial Day weekend at the West Gym there for the graduates. Take your Bibles this morning. Go to the book of Philippians, chapter number 1. The book of Philippians, chapter number 1, is where we find ourselves this morning. And we're going to kind of begin to shift gears a little bit with what's taking place in the book of Philippians. The Apostle Paul has been talking much about what he has experienced, his relationship with Christ, and recognizing to die is gain, as he has said, and remembering that joy can be found in the Lord Jesus Christ, even during the most difficult of times. Well, here this morning, beginning in verse number 27, we're going to begin to bring in the church at Philippi as a whole and help them to understand the importance of unity and the importance of striving together for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we're being reminded this morning of what it takes for a church and what it accomplishes as the church is united. There's all kinds of stories and illustrations we could give to get started this morning, but I don't know if you ever remember the old comedian named Jerry Clower. Jerry Clower used to tell funny stories about growing up in Mississippi and things like that. And he told a story about a church one time that was considering doing new chandeliers in the auditorium. And everybody was discussing chandeliers and whether they should, what color they should get and all those kind of things. And finally it came to the business meeting, and the church gathered together and they were talking about the chandeliers. And finally an older man in the back stood up and he says, "I disagree. I don't think we need chandeliers, and here's the reason." "Oh, I don't think we need a new chandelier, and here's the reason. Number one, we can't afford them. Number two, we don't have anybody in this church that knows how to play a chandelier. Number three, why are we talking about getting a chandelier when we need lights in this church so badly?" And so, anyway, just a funny story to get started. But sometimes as churches, we have understandings and disagreements, and maybe we don't always understand even what's taking place, such as the man didn't think that they knew how to play a chandelier. But here in the book of Philippians, chapter number 1 and verse number 27, the Apostle Paul begins to remind the church and explain to the church the importance of unity. And if we ever live in a time where we need unity, it's now. We live in a world that is divided. We live in an age where we have political differences and all kinds of things to talk about and discuss. But yet within the church, we see those things creeping in. And the Apostle Paul is going to explain to them the importance of unity. Just before we read verse number 27, remember what he says, as we'll get to this in Philippians 3. He says, "Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers." And so he's reminding them that there are things that take place within a church that we must be careful about. And so in verse number 27, he says this in chapter 1, "Only let your conversation," that means manner of life, it's not necessarily what you say, "but only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." So immediately we begin to recognize there's something that's more important than our opinions, which is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he's telling them that they represent the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and the things that they experience and the thing they go through, and their manner of life should be one that represents the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so basically what he's referring to here, the idea of this word conversation can go back to a root word that could understand being a citizen. The church at Philippi was proud of their Roman status and understanding what they had. And there was a certain way which they acted to represent who they were. And so, just as we are as Americans, I would imagine. I would hope we're proud to be Americans. We're proud to live in a great country with freedom, and that we can gather together and worship the Lord. And because of who we are, we act a certain way. We have certain things that we consider to be true. We have things that we hold up to be right in our lives. And so, in verse number 27, he is using that comparison for who they were and what they represented as citizens of that community to bring that into the church and to help people understand that they represent the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is using this term to remind, to tell the church at Philippi, who were proud of their status as Roman citizens, to act as citizens of heaven, living in a way worthy of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this understanding here is a verb indicating a continuous action. So I would imagine most of us recognize that when we say we're Christians, there's a certain manner of life that's expected. I can't tell you how many times I've been in the ministry about 20 years now as a pastor, assistant pastor for 3 years, and I guess it's getting on 18 years as a senior pastor, right? And there's so many times I've seen in my life where even the world will see the action of a Christian and they will say these words, "I thought they were a Christian." Even the unsaved expects different action from a believer. Even the world recognizes that when you say you're a Christian, that means that you act in a different way, or that we should be behaving in a different way. So the Apostle Paul says, let your manner of life as a Christian represent the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let who you are as a believer be seen by those around you. You could say it this way, let your life match the gospel that you preach. Let your life match the gospel that you preach. So let's go on a little journey this morning, talking about verses in Scripture that talk about the way in which a Christian lives and the way that we represent. Take your Bibles once again and go to the book of Colossians, the book of Colossians, chapter number 3. The book of Colossians, chapter number 3, and we see this in Colossians 3, that there's a way in which we live. He says in Colossians 3, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing the Lord. And then he says in verse 23, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. Well, you just see right there, three groups immediately that are addressed, beginning of verse number 20, children, obey your parents. The kids are like, oh no, usually we only get talked about in Sunday school. But as a Christian, the Bible says, children, obey your parents. Then it talks about parents, don't provoke your children to wrath. And those at work, obey and be obedient unto those that are over you and your, as your masters, as you call. You could refer to a manager as we would understand today. And there's things in way that we act. And he recognizes the way we're doing this and the reason we're doing this is unto the Lord. Take your Bibles now back to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 4. Ephesians, chapter number 4, and verse number 1. We don't have to go far here. He says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. A walk, okay? Understand W-A-L-K, not W-O-K, okay? I'm not talking about Chinese food this morning, but W-A-L-K, we understand that when someone is walking, it is an upright posture, it is a visible posture, and it also indicates a movement or a direction. And so he says in verse number 1, the prisoner of the Lord beseech you or beg you that you walk worthy. That's a manner. That's a lifestyle, he says, that we walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called. We're walking, we're moving, we're going in a direction that is seen and that is visible by those around us. I hate to do this to you, but go back to Colossians again in verse number, chapter 1 and verse number 10. I should have gone to this one before I made you go past it to go to Ephesians. But he says in verse number 10, that you may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. And then he says this, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Christian, listen, we are saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our salvation has impacted our lives. It's changed the way that we live. Our life should match the gospel that we are preaching. Just as there is a conduct that's expected as a Roman citizen, as a conduct that's expected as an American citizen, what about how we live as citizens of heaven? When the world sees us, and the world sees the way we act, and the way that we live, and the way that we behave, do they see Christ? Or do they see something else? Colossians 1:10, as I've just read, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. And I don't need to go to all these, but 1 Thessalonians 2:12 reminds us of this same thing. Titus 2:10 and 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 11 and verse number 14 reminds us that our walk, our conduct should be one becoming the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. To many people that claim Christ on their lips, but deny him with their lifestyle. It's one thing to say that I'm a Christian. It's another to live a life representing the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember what was said in the book of Matthew, chapter number 5 and verse number 14, is Jesus is speaking, and he says this to those that he's speaking to. He says, you are the light of the world. We are the light of the world. We represent Christ in who we are and how we live. What does a worthy walk look like? Go back to Philippians chapter number 1 one more time. Philippians chapter number 1, and we'll talk about this idea of a walk with the Lord. A worthy walk is a walk of integrity. We walk in integrity before the Lord. We walk in purity. We walk in faithfulness, even when no one is watching. And we walk in boldness, not compromising the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Think of it this way as an illustration. A soldier wearing a uniform of his country represents his nation wherever he goes. Likewise, when we bear the name Christian, we represent Christ everywhere we walk. People may never read the Bible, but they will read our lives. Philippians 2:15 says this about this. In verse number 15 of chapter number 2, the Bible says that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom you shine as lights in the world. This is the truth of Scripture. We represent Christ with our actions. And I won't go into story after story this morning because you're aware of them and you know them. I have, for years of ministry, visited people, talked with people, been in the homes of people. And time after time, and story after story, there has been hurt and there has been discouragement at the hands of another Christian person. Now, I'm not trying to hurt our feelings this morning, but I'm telling you, this is just, it happens far too often. Too often, Christians do not represent who they should be as Christians, and we act just as unforgiving as the world, just as unloving as the world, just as unkind as the world. And I know I joke about it, but I've often said that if you have road rage, don't put a First Baptist sticker on your car, right? You know, I wear that First Baptist t-shirt around, right? And I'm just joking about that. But nevertheless, think of that. Imagine that we would make it just a sticker that would stop us from having road rage. Not who we are as a Christian, right? Not representing who we are. We should walk in a manner, in a like that represents the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you a personal story this morning. I won't tell you the man's name. He's since gone to be with the Lord. But I was an assistant pastor in New Mexico for 2.5, almost 3 years. And then at 27 years old, I became a senior pastor, First Baptist Church in Pennington Gap, Virginia. The church there had just had a lot of trouble, 2 different business meetings. About 200 people walked out, and I became the pastor after that. Right? Boy, was that exciting. 27 years old, walk in, and they had a business meeting of about 200 people with a live mic, and were passing the mic around, and people were telling their opinions and what was happening and different things like that. There was a man there that was particularly upset, and he left the church. He happened to be in the treasurer position at the time. And when I'm moving from New Mexico, Colin, who's now 18, was a little baby just born, and he loved to hear the noise of the diesel engine and all those things. But you know how when you're traveling across the country and you're buying diesel and gas and all those things, many times the credit card company will shut the card off, right? So it was fraud. They thought it was fraud, and so they shut the card off. So the guy that could turn it back on was the guy that had left the church, that was mad at everybody, all right? So I got his number. I said, hey, I'm the new pastor of the church, and I was wondering if you could turn, click. It's like, oh, no. Now what am I going to do? I have no fuel. I can't get across the country. I can't pay for the fuel because this thing. Anyway, this man was very upset. And for 12 years, I was pastor of that church. I was there over 15 years. But for 12 years, if I would see this man in town, he'd turn the other way. I didn't even know him. I didn't even know anything about him. You know, I was just the pastor of the church that he hated, right? And he would turn the other way. He would not speak to me. I did not know him for anything. I knew his name. I recognized, knew who he was. But for 12 years, he was angry, and he was upset, and he was miserable. On a Sunday night, after 12 years, I'm preaching, and he walks in the back door. I was like, oh, my. You know, it's been 12 years, but still, I'm still thinking, well, what is going on here, all right? And so after 12 years, this man comes back to the church, walks forward on a Sunday night, and apologizes for the anger he had had towards that church, rejoins the church, and becomes a dear friend of mine. 2 years later, I preached his funeral, and he went to be with the Lord. But, you know, sometimes we go on a long time worrying and concerned in these things and upset about things that ultimately the Lord worked out of his life. It's not worth it to hold on to that. And I remember going to his house and talking to him. And as I said, we became good friends. But what had to happen first, he had to get that bitterness and unforgiveness out of his life. And boy, did the joy come back to him. The Bible says in verse number 27, let our manner of life be our conversation, represent the gospel of Christ. That's who we are. The gospel is powerful. It changes people. The gospel is not merely a ticket to heaven, even though it is our way to heaven. It transforms the life of the believer. And we are to represent Christ everywhere we go. That's how God wants us to be. The church, people should see us and see that we are different. If we're in business, that means we're honest in business. If we're out in our community, that means we represent Christ in our community. If we're involved in things, we show grace and we show forgiveness in our lives because that's what we have received from the Lord Jesus Christ. Even Christ told a story about this. Remember the man that had a lot forgiven to him? And then he gets released and goes find the man that owes him a lot less and demands him, throws him in prison. Oftentimes think of how, let me just, and again, I'm totally off notes this morning, but I'm leaving him behind for a moment. But think of all that we have been forgiven of. Think of the patience and the grace and the kindness and the forgiveness that God has shown us, and yet it gets no further than here, right? We take it in and it doesn't go any further. We should be a demonstration of what God has done for us in our community, in our lives, in the people that we're with, in the people that we represent. Only let your conversation be, it's becometh the gospel of Christ. Whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs that you stand fast, he says, in one spirit. So then he begins to talk about unity. Stand fast, he says, in one spirit, in one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Paul is emphasizing unity to the church. Let me just be honest with you, and I know I'm preaching to the choir because many of you recognize this, but the devil loves disunity. The devil loves divided Christians and powerless Christians. He loves that. He wants to divide. He wants to move away. He wants to bring people to be separate. And as a church, we must be reminded that God's desires for us is to be united, striving together. I like that right there. Striving together. If you want some real comedy sometime, come on Wednesday night to Sparky Game Time, all right? It starts right after the opening ceremony, and one of the games that they hate, which I enjoy watching, is the three-legged race. And it is really something, all right? And that's the age where if the kids are in line together and they're with a boy and a girl, have to have their feet tied together, and they walk like this in the three-legged race so they don't go near the other kid or whatever. But the idea is sometimes in this race, especially if we do it several times, some of these kids will learn how to walk together, right? And they'll go around that circle, and if they're not afraid of cooties or whatever, they'll put their arms around each other, and they count, one, two, one, two, one, two, one, two. And they'll run around the circle, and then it all comes apart when they have to go into the middle. But that's the idea of striving together, of in unity. You're linked together at the feet, and you're literally walking as one person. In the three-legged race, if you don't walk together and as one person, you will truly fall. So he says in verse number 27, towards the end, as I've already read, that I would hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, one mind, striving together. It pictures a teammate fighting and challenging side by side. I've given you basketball. I'm giving a lot of illustrations this morning, but basketball illustrations from when I was in high school, and we got into a tournament one time. Our team was better. Our team was bigger. We could shoot better, but they were a better team, and we could never beat them. Actually, we beat them once and then lost in the championship because it was double elimination, but this team, they were shorter than us, but they played together as a team. Constantly, and no matter how we win or what defense we ran or what offense we had, we would lose to this team because they worked together, striving together for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. I told you another time on a Wednesday night, I believe it was, that my sister came in town and we decided to take her whitewater rafting up in Buena Vista, right? And so we're out there, we're going along, Carter gets knocked out of the boat, and we get him back in, and next thing you know, we're stuck on a rock, right in the middle of the Arkansas River, and we're sitting there, and we're like, what do we do, and finally we get off the rock, and we go, and no, that's when Carter fell out. We got off the rock, right? So then Carter shoots off like a cannon. My sister grabs him with super mom strength and pulls him back in the raft. We're all like, what is going on here? This is crazy. So anyway, finally we ask the guide, we're like, what happened? Why did we get stuck upon the rock? And this was his exact words. You want to know what it was? You weren't paddling together. It was that simple. You weren't paddling together. Well, I thought we were. We were doing pretty good over here. But because we weren't working together, we got stuck on a rock. God wants us to strive together, representing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. A church is not just a collection of isolated individuals, but we are one body. And we work together for the cause of Christ. This is God's design. This is what God has given to us. So let our manner of life, our conversation, be as becoming the gospel of Christ. Whether he comes, he says, or I see you, that I would hear of your faith, as he says, that you stand fast in one spirit, in one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Now again, every time I preach a message like this, someone will come and say, preacher, we having trouble? Something going on in the church, right? This is expositional, verse by verse. This is where we are in Philippians, all right? And so that's not what's happening. We're giving these instructions so these things don't happen, that we recognize the importance of striving together. The cause is bigger than our opinion. The cause is bigger than ourselves. The cause is about the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the only way we can be of one mind is if we're seeking one goal, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. So I ask you this morning, are we striving together? Are we of one mind and of one faith in the gospel? What does the devil use to bring division? Four things quickly this morning. What does the devil use to bring division? Well, I think one of the first things that we can note is pride. Pride. Pride brings division. Pride in a marriage, pride in a home, pride in the workplace, pride in a church. The Bible says God resists the proud and gives grace unto the humble. Pride brings division. In a marriage, you know, I'll just give you one little tidbit in my own marriage. Well, you know, my job is a problem solver, right? People come to me and they say, Pastor, what do I do about this? And I give advice, all right? But that doesn't work in your marriage. Don't do that, all right? So Joanna will come to me and she'll preface the conversation with this. Josh, I don't want the problem solved. I just want to tell you about it. Okay, I'm listening. I don't want an opinion about it yet. Let me just tell you about what's going on, and you listen. I'm like, no, just let me tell you about it, right? And I begin to realize the reason that is because I'm prideful to say, well, what I have to say is better than anybody else, and I'm going to solve this right now, right? And so we have to be careful that sometimes pride can get into our lives. Uh-oh, what about if we get offended? Offended. Somebody offended me. Division comes into a church through pride, and related to pride is that we get offended. Somebody hurt my feelings. Somebody didn't take my advice. Someone didn't listen to what I had to say. Somebody looked at me weird, and I'm never coming back, right? You know? And so, you know, we can get offended by things. You know, remind ourselves what Christ did for us. I'm glad that he didn't take offense to what he says, Father, forgive them. They know what they do, while he's being crucified upon a cross. We can get offended. Christian, don't fall for that trap. Don't fall for it. The devil will take you down that line of offense, and he will get you away from God. There's now just sometimes when I'm preaching, actually it happened this morning a little bit. I just started and there was like, Joanna got up and left. Then someone over here got up and went out. Someone over here, I was like, what in the world is going on? This place is emptying up, you know? And I'm like, I'm trying to get my thoughts together. But you know, sometimes you're up here preaching and someone gets up and walks out and your flesh goes, uh-oh, what did I just say? You know, was it that bad? You know, I'm checking my notes again. Like, did something bad happen? You know, sometimes we can allow offense to hurt us. Number three, what does the devil use to ruin unity, to ruin walking together and striving together? He uses pride. He uses being offended and upset. Let me just say something. If you have that with somebody, go work it out with them. Go to them and say, listen, let's work this out. Let's talk about these things, if they will. Through pride, through offense. Number three, through gossip. Through gossip. Spreading and saying things that aren't the case. Right? That brings disunity within a church. Number four, selfishness. Paul says, I'm praying that when I come to you, I'll find you of one faith, of one mind, striving together, representing the gospel of Christ. Gospel-centered believers stand together and fight together, not against. They say of chickens, I've only owned chickens for about a month and a half, and then Colin sold them on Facebook, but they say that when a chicken gets a little piece of blood, that the other chicks will peck it to death. Is that true? If they see blood, they'll just peck and peck and peck and peck. Do we act like that as Christians? Last time I checked, the Bible says, you which are spiritual, restore such a one, and to bring them back. Sometimes as Christians, we can see a little injury, and we can just peck and peck and peck. We need each other. We stand together. We fight together. We forgive each other. We love one another. We don't let pride get in our way. One more verse about this is found in Ephesians chapter 4 in verse number 3. And I know I've used this verse before, but it comes up again this morning. Ephesians 4:3 says this, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. The word endeavoring has the idea of working towards something. We endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. The mission is too important for petty division. Souls are dying. Families are falling apart. Children are being consumed by the world. The church must stand together for the cause of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. May we not allow petty differences cause division, thus hurting our witness to those who need it the most. Souls are dying. Families are falling apart, as I've already said. Children are being consumed by the world. What does the world see when they see the Christian? Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. So he says, let your manner of life be as becometh the gospel of Christ. When I come, I want to hear of your faith, that you're of one mind and of one spirit, striving together for the gospel of Christ. Just a few more, one illustration and a few applications this morning will be done. Think of this, of a rope. And my little girl, Karis, likes to make bracelets, all right? And so you can take this one little strand, this little strand she uses for bracelets, and you can just pull it apart, right? And then you take two strands, and it's a little harder, but you can end up pulling it apart. After a while, some of the strongest ropes in the world, and even cables that are strong, are nothing but a bunch of little strands wound together into one big strand. And when it's together, it can hold the weight of a person. It can pull a car out of a ditch. You can anchor a giant ship in the ocean. When these little strands are bound together, the strength becomes immeasurable, right? So that's what God desires for us as a church, that each one of us are that representation of that little strand. And by ourselves, the devil comes with pride and selfishness and offense, and he just, we're broken, right? But as we take one another and we wind ourselves together in unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, and that we endeavor to do these things, the devil comes with his attack and we're strong. We're unbreakable because we're wound together with one another. Every person in this room has something they've been through. Every person in this room has something they've experienced that they needed another Christian to come along beside them and help them. Let's be united together because the world needs a united church. They need to see who Christ is and what Christ really represents. They need to see our love and our forgiveness, and that they would recognize that something is different about us. And so we want to live in a way that honors the gospel every day. That's our first application. In this passage of scripture, just one verse, in verse number 27, that you stand fast in one spirit, of one mind, striving for the faith of the gospel. We live in a way that honors the gospel every day. That's in our workplace. That's in our community. Let's just say that's everywhere, right? We live in a way that honors the gospel each day. In every day. Second application this morning in verse number 27. As Christians, we protect the unity. We protect unity with one another. You know what that looks like? It looks like forgiving one another. Do you know that? Part of protecting the unity of a church is to forgive one another. We protect the unity. We go to each other. We love each other. We look out for each other. And we forgive one another quickly. We live in a way that honors the gospel. We protect the unity of the church. And number three, we have a cause. We work together for the advancement of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Woe it be to us if the reason somebody doesn't come to Christ is because of my actions towards them. Right? Could you imagine the shame we would feel if the reason someone rejected the gospel of Christ is because of the way they were treated by another Christian person? Work together for the advancement of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Number four, I love this one. Encourage one another instead of tearing one another down. I'm not saying we do that. But I'm saying, as a church, we can encourage one another instead of tearing one another down. Let me just ask you a question. And I would imagine almost every hand would go up. Who in here could ever use some encouragement? Come on now. Who would rather be encouraged than criticized? Who has been criticized instead of encouraged sometimes, right? Which do you prefer? Right? We prefer encouragement with one another, right? I'm thinking of all kinds of illustrations this morning, but I better leave that one alone. But we have times in our lives where we instead of encouraging, we want to offer our insight, we'll call it, right? But we sometimes can offer our insight in such a way that it becomes a hurt. So we encourage one another, each and every time we're together. That's how Christ wants us to live. We live in a way that honors the gospel. We protect the unity of the church. We work together for the advancement of the gospel. We encourage one another instead of tearing one another down. And number five, and we're done. We stand together in truth. We stand together in truth. In a culture that is constantly going against the truth of Scripture. That's our one mind, the truth of the Word of God. And so we stand together in truth, in a culture that needs to see truth lived out. So the Apostle Paul, as we've worked around this verse over and over this morning, the Apostle Paul in Philippians 1:27 is shifting from the experience of his life and how he is finding joy even in the midst of prison and showing how he can still go forward according to the work of the Lord Jesus Christ and the power that's in him because of Christ, then begins to address the church. And he says, whether I get to come or whether I don't, I pray that I will find you representing the gospel to those around you. I pray that when I hear of you or whether I come unto you, that you are standing together, he says, in one spirit and of one mind, and not only standing together, but I think he adds some movement to it at the end of verse number 27, and striving together, so we're not just standing together, but we're moving together in a direction for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that you're living in a way that honors the gospel, and that you're protecting the unity for one another. We're working together to advance the gospel of Christ. We're encouraging each other instead of hurting each other, and we're standing together for the truth of Jesus Christ. That's what he desires and what the Holy Spirit desires for Philippi, and I know that's what he desires for First Baptist, the West Cliff, and for Christians around the world, that we would be outside our church representing the Lord Jesus Christ, because we live in a world that is in desperate need to see the life of a Christian being displayed. And then in verse 28, we won't go into this, but he continues to talk about that. Joanne and Bethany are going to come for just a moment this morning. Can we bow our heads together in closing for just a moment? Joanne and Bethany are going to begin to play a song for us. But I want to ask you this question. Are we allowing anything in our lives to hurt our representation of Christ? Are we allowing anything in our lives to hurt our representation of Christ? Are we walking in a manner that represents Christ? Are we advancing the gospel together? Are we striving together? Just take a moment, talk to the Lord. Maybe be, Lord, help me. Help me to walk with you. Help me to represent you to those around me. Just talk to the Lord there for a moment in your seat. Amen. Turn to your neighbor this morning and say, let's strive together for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we'll say our final verse together, but just in case you were thinking this morning, oh, I'm so glad that's over. Those unity things are so rough. It gets a lot worse in chapter 2. Because he says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but let every one of you esteem the other better than themselves. And that's where you really get into what it is to have unity. Let's stand to our feet this morning. We'll go to Psalms 133 and verse number 1. This shouldn't be too hard to say together, right? Let's do this now. Ready? Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Psalms 133:1. One more time. Ready? Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Psalms 133:1. We love each of you. We pray that God will continue to work in each of our lives, that we will strive together, and that the world will see who we are as believers, and they'll say something's different about them. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the truth of the Word of God. Bless us as we go our separate ways. May we strive together as Christians. May the world look at us and say, wow, boy, they're awful forgiving. They show grace. They encourage people around them. Father, may we demonstrate our Savior to those in our community, to those in our church. May we be forgiving and kind. Father, take any pride out of our lives that is hurting our relationship with you. And Father, may you be glorified in all things. And may we walk with you and walk for you in our lives. And may those around us see you through our actions. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask this. Amen.